So as I mentioned, tonight we're finishing off this series we've been doing throughout January, and we've just snuck into February looking at our vision as a church. As a church here at St Barnabas, we're committed to being a place that's all about making disciples for life. And so we've been looking at that phrase in different ways. What does it mean to be disciples? What does it mean to make disciples, to share the good news with others? Last week we were looking at what does it mean to be disciples in all of our life, not just when we gather on Sundays and throughout the week in our life groups and other places, but to be following Jesus in everything that we do, 24/7 throughout the week. And tonight, as the final one, we're looking at all of life disciples, this call to be disciples, to be followers, apprentice of Jesus, right to the end of our lives, however long we've got left, to run the race right to the end of our lives. So I'm going to, in a moment, read our passage from Philippians, which throws up lots of things. But we're going to be asking these kind of questions. So how do we be and make disciples throughout the whole of our lives, for all of our life? How do we run the race well for our entire life, through the highs and the lows? How do we run in anticipation of the prize that awaits us? So we turn to our Bibles, to Philippians, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to one of the early churches. And this is reading from chapter 3, verse 7, through to chapter 4. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press onwards to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Praise God for his word. Amen. So we're going to use this rich, rich passage to help us think about being disciples for all of our life. And as I've already mentioned, what struck me is it's all well and good for me to stand here and talk about what I think some of the key things that we can learn from this passage about what it means to be followers of Jesus for all of our life. And I can do that, and I might do a little bit of that. But doing that, I would do it from my particular perspective. A privileged white man in his 30s, right? That's where I stand. And one of the things that I love about being a follower of Jesus is that it's not an individual calling. We're not isolated units interacting with God. I've heard it said a couple of times, you might have heard this saying too, that the plural of disciple is church. Several disciples is a church. When several followers of Jesus gather together regularly to worship, to learn, to seek after God together, that's church. We run this race together as community and as family. And one of the joys about being family is that we're all in different places on our journey, but united because we're running the same race in the same direction towards the same goal. We're all drawn together, united around the figure of Jesus. So tonight, as I've said, we're going to hear from three people who were all at different points on their journey of following Jesus, different points and running the race of discipleship, which is the language that Paul uses. So this is the moment that I'd like to invite the three of you to come up, Evie, Neil and Mike, if you'd like to come forward. We've got these seats for you here. So I'll move this out of the way. Evie, why don't you go on this side here? We'll have Neil in the middle. So what I've asked these three to do, and I'm going to sit down in a minute and let them get on with it, is just to speak for a few minutes about what being a disciple in their particular stage in life that they're at the moment means to them, what it means to follow Jesus for the whole of your lives. So we'll start with you, Evie, because you're closest to me, and we'll work around that way, if that's okay. So once you finish, just pass on to the next one, and then I'll hop up at the end. Great.
Hello. Hello. I'm Evie. I'm at college now, so there you go, that's me. So the question, what does it mean to be a disciple for your whole life? Been thinking about a lot recently, as you can guess. And I think it's wholehearted love and loyalty to God and having the faith that, or the belief that this isn't for us, this life isn't for us, we're not doing this for ourselves. At the end, the winning goal isn't that we get a medal and that everybody congratulates us, it's that we're doing this for a bigger cause and a bigger plan. And looking into my future and thinking, oh, how am I going to do that? Something that's really helpful is looking at people I respect or people I love and seeing their love for God and how they're a wholehearted disciple. And somebody I look up to a lot is my granddad. He's great. But so growing up with him and being able to witness him in loads of different situations, loads of different people in different countries, you can really see his worship in the everyday and his love in the everyday. You've seen him with a million different people and he treats every single person with the same amount of care and love as his family. And it's amazing to watch and also really inspiring. And he's great. And I think looking into my future, I don't specifically have a plan or an idea. You know, you meet people and they're like, oh, I have this big master plan. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to live here. Or some people feel certainly called to a certain area of work. I don't really have that right now. I have a hope that God has a plan for me. Well, I have a belief that he has a plan for me. So I'd say right now, instead of all my friends planning their uni and their apprenticeships, right now I'm in a stage of waiting and of waiting to listen to God. And it's tricky. And I think I'm a bit of a control freak. I like knowing what's happening when, who's doing it, what I have to be doing all the time. I love a schedule. A schedule, a to-do list, it's everything I love. So I think God's really using this time of the unknown. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years, I don't know, to really test my trust for him and for me to see that it isn't about me. It's not about me making the plans, me making the schedule or the to-do list. It's about him And it's really hard. Just this week, I keep having an idea. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And then I go back and think, oh, no, wait, it's not about me, is it? And I think I've never heard God's voice before. I've obviously experienced his love, but I don't know what his voice sounds like. So every opportunity that I get, everything that comes my way, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. Because every little thing could be God telling me what he wants me to do. So I'm just going to be like, okay, I'll take what you're giving me then. And it is really hard, and it's a bit of a roller coaster recently, but I'm just so excited to see what will happen. I have zero idea, but it's just right now I'm just trying to keep my head up in faith and remember that he's got his little tailor-made plan for me, and it's going to be okay. And I think witnessing people that I really respect in their life and witnessing that God does have a plan for every single one of us and that it's going to be okay really does help. And I think Sam was talking about winning the prize or the end goal. And I never really thought about that before. In growing up in school and in education, they kind of just teach you to do the next step. So when you're in year 9 and they're telling you about your GCSEs, you finish your GCSEs, it's A-levels after A-levels, it's uni or apprenticeships. They very rarely say to you, at the end of your life, what do you want to have accomplished? What do you want to have said? I'm so proud that I've done that. So I haven't really thought about it. But I think if I do think about it, I want to be able to look back at my life as a disciple and say, in God's huge master plan that he has for this world, I played my part to the best of my ability. And it's a tiny, tiny part. And I'm accepting that because I know I'm not going to change the world. But I'm just so excited to see my part play out and be able to say, okay, God, whatever you throw at me, I'm going to be ready and I'm going to be willing. And it's exciting. Your turn.
Wow, follow that. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Neil, Neil Burgess. I'm married to Tina at the back there. I've got three kids in their 20s. We'll start off with something when I was a little bit younger than Evie, which is I became a Christian when I was 15, and that was the best decision I ever made in my life, following Jesus since then. And Jesus never let me down. He's always been there. It's amazing. That was 41 years ago. To save anyone doing the arithmetic, that does mean I'm 56. So I'd been thinking, even before Sam asked about this, for the last 2 or 3 years, what it means to be a disciple, a follower, a Christian. And I have this very vivid image in my mind. I thought I'd share it with you guys. It may help, it may hinder. If it hinders you, just ignore it. But it's that being a follower of Jesus is like you're on a rocky path. It's a journey, it's a long journey, it's a lifelong journey. It's a rocky path. It's a longer cliff, in fact. There's ups and there's downs. Sometimes there's breathtaking views. Sometimes you're kind of lost in the mist a little bit. Sometimes it's quite easy going. Sometimes it's hard slog. But it is always kind of a longer cliff. So some people might try and tell you, might try and mislead you by saying, you know, the more longer you've been a disciple, you become more like Jesus. Your life is moving away from the cliff into some sort of safe space. Well, maybe that's true for some people, but I've never felt that that's the case for me. I think we're always kind of along the edge. Any one of us can slip a little way or even fall a long way. And what's important then is that we turn to God, turn to Jesus, and who's always there with his love and his grace, seeking to draw us back onto the path of following him. And the passage that we heard about just now, knowing Jesus, we know Jesus as we are walking along this path with its ups and downs, with its difficulties, knowing Jesus as he keeps us on the path, knowing Jesus as he brings us back. And the prize, Sam asked me a question this week, he probably asked it of us all, what influence does this have on your life, how you live day to day? You could all think that. It was in the passage today. Do we spend a lot of time thinking about the prize that lies before us? Do you? I don't, if I'm really honest. I just find it enough trouble to put one foot in front of the other. Keeping on the path, knowing Jesus this day, wanting to know Jesus next week, next month, next year. I don't think that the prize is not something we get closer to obtaining in this life. We don't become sort of super level disciple who's closer to obtaining the prize. There was a great preacher called David Watson who used to say, you could be up at the top of a mountain, I could be down in the valley, but neither of us can reach the stars. And that's the prize that awaits us all. We're going up, we're going down. There is a prize. It's so beyond anything we can experience in this life, but that's what awaits us when we finally die and go to be in glory with God. That's about it, I think. So pass you over.
Oh, too quick, isn't it? My name's Mike. As you can see, I'm sort of senior citizen, and my life has been mainly involved as an ordained clergyman. But before that, I worked in banking and also an accountant. What, as a senior, as an older person, I was been thinking about was that verse which is where Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You know, as an older person, we tend to want to look back, because as we get less active, you'll see me struggling up in my row with my rollator. It's hard work getting around and doing things, and like most old people, there's a tendency. It's time to sit in the armchair. You can't do the things like you used to do. We think of our mobility, our health, and things like this. But you know, it's not much good doing that, is it? It doesn't get you very far. I like reminiscing, I must admit, because I've had a big career, a long career. I've worked most of my life as a seaman's chaplain. And of course, I've seen men saved, born again in Jesus Christ. I've seen men in tears and helped them in their difficulties. I could tell you hundreds and hundreds of stories of not just English people, Chinese coming to the Lord, and all sorts. And it's easy to sit reminiscing about that, saying, well, it was a good life. I enjoyed it at that point. Towards the end of my career with a seaman, I was honoured in different ways. I was invited to Buckingham Palace, getting to the pinnacle, I suppose, of my career. I got a free holiday to the Western Isles. All sorts of things. The Icelandic government invited me to go there just as a holiday and for different things I had done. But you know, and then I retired when time came. I retired to pretty North Yorkshire village because I enjoyed walking. You wouldn't see it now. And I thought, I'm going to enjoy this retirement. I'll minister, I'll do a little bit of things here and there. But you know, it wasn't quite to be. When I got there, I found there were 6 retired clergy in the parish, all competing with each other to do their bit. And in the next parish, there were 9 retired clergy, a popular place to retire. I felt, well, I don't want to be part of this rat race. It was literally like that. But what did I do? I moved closer. Health came into this as well. I moved closer into Middlesbrough and now live on the edge of Middlesbrough. And my thinking has changed. You see, God, when we say the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Thine is the kingdom thy kingdom come. We know that God's reign started in Jesus. But we're reminded as we say that prayer that there we are still commissioned to carry on until it becomes a reality. No one as a Christian can sit back and do nothing. So I came here and I attend a small church on the outskirts of Middlesbrough on a Sunday morning. I go there to encourage them so that I can do my little bit. I go to their Bible study on a Monday and help where I can. Each day I go out for my daily paper. I struggle out with it later, but I always like to keep abreast of the news, because how can we pray for the world unless we know what is happening? We need informed prayer. I also then go around and have a coffee or a different place. I always try and meet somebody to talk to. I try to find somebody different each day, be it Christian, atheist, Muslim, or whatever you like, and we have some good conversations. God put me in the place I am now for a purpose, and he's encouraged me to carry on in my discipleship all of the way. I don't know what the future has. It's shorter than most of yours, I expect. But you never know, do you? You never know. May God bless you in this, as we think of God and as we think of our service. Just a little thought. Little things go to big things. Before I went into church, I remember starting a Bible study where I lived. I lived about 10 miles away at this point from my church, so I decided to start one up in my home. There were just 8 of us meeting each week to study the Word and to pray. Do you know, when I look back on that, every one of those 8 was called into full-time service, each working for God, each being disciples, and each living the life. Don't ever be discouraged in doing something. I've seen so much happen in God's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing. Should we give them a round of applause and thank them for sharing? And take a seat. Well, thanks so much for sharing. That was so great to hear those different perspectives. So much richness in that. Why don't we just pause for a moment to think about what we've just heard and what particularly struck you. Maybe there's a sentence in your mind now that just really leapt out at you when it was said by one of our 3 who've just shared. And I think as we hear from this passage and hear these testimonies, I think I don't want to add much more because there's no need to, or so much in that. I think the one thing that I would want to add, and I think that God's been speaking to me about a bit actually over the last few months, is actually that the call to discipleship is a call to change. And actually, I've been really struck recently and challenged actually about how much I'm expecting to change, how much I'm expecting others to change. And actually, I've been really challenged by that, actually. And actually, just to say, well, if we genuinely are in relationship with the God who created the universe, with the God who all this is about, like, is at the center of everything that's happening, if we really have the relationship with God that the Bible tells us that we have, then that's a big deal. And actually, we should expect that being in relationship with God is going to change us. And it's really helpful what Neil was saying, that we don't fall into the trap. And I wonder whether I partly have fallen into the trap of kind of, I don't know if I'm still allowed to say youthful, but the enthusiasm of a person in their 20s and 30s to expect that, oh, well, you know, it's going to be okay into the future. But actually, I think the challenge is that we can't expect to sit back and expect just to change and expect just to become like Jesus. That's just going to, as Neil said, it's not just on this it's nice, smooth path, but that actually we still walk the challenging and difficult road. But I think this call to maturity, I think verse 12 in the passage talks about the goal as being maturity. And so in one sense, there's a maturity in this life of disciples that only comes on the final day when Jesus returns, puts everything right and invites us into the age to come. Then we'll be fully mature and able to stand face to face with our Lord and Saviour. And so in some ways, all of life discipleship just means sticking at it, waiting for that day. But actually, as we heard from each of them as they spoke, you know, there's so much that life is so rich. There's so much that we're not just waiting. We're not just counting out the time. And, you know, how great to hear about how Mike is choosing to use his retirement and the way that he's choosing to use these years. That we're not just twiddling our thumbs, but we're called to be agents of the kingdom in the here and now. And actually, I think what that partly means is striving after this maturity. And one of the things that struck me about this passage is how much of it, when Paul is writing, is active. So we see in verse 1 of chapter 4, he tells us to stand firm. In verse 17 of chapter 3, he encourages us to set our eyes on those who are a good example, just like Evie was telling us about. He talks about pressing on in verse 12 and verse 14, straining towards what's ahead in verse 13. It seems to me that as we're invited into this journey of discipleship, choosing to follow Jesus is the beginning, isn't it? And we know that, the beginning of the journey, not the destination. We get baptized at the beginning, knowing that the journey is ahead of us. And actually the invitation from this passage and the challenge from this passage is that God is calling us into deeper and deeper relationship. And that as he calls us into deeper relationship, as we draw closer to Jesus, we become more like him. And it's not an easy thing. It's not a foregone conclusion. It's not a formula. And as Neil said, at times we're closer, at times we fall away. This is a difficult path that we're walking. It's not the smooth path. But that actually we are called to press on towards Christ-likeness. And we know that the Spirit is at work in us to make us more like Jesus. And that's the journey that we're on. And we know the final destination, which is we will be face-to-face with Jesus, fully knowing just as we are fully known. But until then, we press on towards the goal. So it's a challenge and it's an encouragement as well. This is the journey that we've been invited into, and it's an amazing one. Let's pray. Ben, why don't you come up so we can sing again in a moment. Lord God, we thank you for your invitation. We thank you that you invite us to follow you, Jesus, just as you invited those first disciples. You've kept on doing that, inviting people to follow you. And God, we want to follow you closely. We want to follow you close enough that the dust from your sandals gets on our feet. Lord, we want to follow you in such a way that being close to you changes us. Because we know, Jesus, that you are perfection. And God, as we look forward to the day when you will make us perfect, we pray for the years and the decades that we have ahead of us here on this earth. We do pray, God, that you would grow maturity in us. that we would grow to love you more, that we'd learn to hear your voice, to be able to discern you speaking and leading and guiding. Lord, we pray that we would grow in maturity so that each time we fall away from the path, we become quicker to spot it and find it easier to be humble enough to turn round and to turn back to you. And Holy Spirit, in the places where we're weak, would you be our strength? Would you be our motivation? And would you help us to be those who strive, who press on, who stand firm? Lord, would you do your work for your glory, we pray. Amen.